On the air, online, from New York City, border to border, and coast to coast, you're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Yes, you are, and hi, how are you? Welcome to the big radio show on this Thursday. Today is the 6th day of May, year of our Lord 2021. My name is Tom Sullivan. So as we gather around the old radio today, let's see what we have, boys and girls. Well, we've got jobs, but we don't know where the people are. We've got more jobs available. And where are the people? We've got one more. President Biden versus Uber. They're now at the federal level trying to get the gig economy wiped out. This is, he keeps talking about, we need to we'll bring all these people back, and he's wiping out jobs. So it hasn't happened yet, but we'll get you up to date on all of that. Caitlyn Jenner running for governor of New York. I'm sorry, of California. Forgot for a second. Running for governor of California. And I think she has a really good shot at it. I'll explain as we go to the program. We got some more immigration. We got some more virus. We got some more voting bills out there, Florida, Texas, and all that sort of stuff. And the Republic, I don't know if this is really all that important, but the Liz Cheney thing is like a top story every day because the mainstream media, I swear, they love to see the Republicans fighting. But I also do find it interesting from the standpoint of the Republican Party, of which Republican Party is going to win this. The Liz Cheney wing, which super long-time conservative, versus pro-Trump wing. And looks like Liz Cheney's losing. But it really will define what the Republican Party, what they really stand for. So we will touch on that as well. But let me start off today with tomorrow. Is it tomorrow we get our jobs report for last month? So we'll get the unemployment rate and all that tomorrow morning. Oh, programming note, I won't be here tomorrow morning. No, I'm taking a day off. I haven't taken a day off in, I don't know, when was the last time, Alexander the Great? Maybe Christmas? I took Christmas off. I took New Year's off. I don't think I've had just like a regular day off in a long time, but we've got big plans, so I'm getting out of town tomorrow morning. But so we got all that. But the jobs numbers for the month of April will come out tomorrow. But the overall first time jobless claims come out every Thursday, and they are, I know, usually they're, I don't even mention them, but back in the day, it was around 200,000 people across our great country would get a pink slip during the week. And so it would be first-time jobless claims, first time somebody showing up for jobless claims is because they have just been terminated. You can't show up if you quit. But if you got fired, yes, you can show up. And that number used to be around 200,000. Well, it went up into the double-digit millions back in March and April of last year. And it's been coming down and coming down. It kind of stalled. The elevator kind of stalled on the 700th floor, 700,000 this, 700,000 that. This week, we got it down to 498,000. So it's still way above where we were before the pandemic. But it's way, way down from where it's been. And it's below what they were forecasting. So it was a good report, no question about it. The continuing claims, though, the people that have been getting some sort of benefit, running a little more than 3 million, and then you throw in 12 million people that are on the pandemic unemployment program. Those are not employees. Those are gig workers, self-employed, all that sort of stuff. That's about 12 million are getting benefits. You put the whole thing together, it's just about 16 million people are getting a government check every single week. And the pandemic emergency extra deal for people that are self-employed, that goes until September. And the extra bonus, super-duper bonus that's thrown in on top of the state unemployment benefits also goes until September. So here we are, the early May. So we got May, June, July, August, four more months of people getting extra benefits and summertime. So the question is, we're still when you count how many people were working a year ago, right before the pandemic, versus today, we are still 8.5 million jobs shy. 8.5 million people not working that were working 1 year ago. So that's a lot of numbers to throw at you. A lot of 16 million people are getting benefits. But, I know. But I'm thinking, wait a minute. If there's 8 million people that are not working, fewer than they were, how could we have 16 million getting benefits? I don't know. So you go through all of this, and the big story that seems to be coming out from Denver, from Louisiana, from Florida, New York, it's a number of places that people are saying they cannot find people that are willing to work. So, yeah, here's one guy who owns it's called the White House Inn. And no, it's not in Washington, D.C. I'm trying to remember where the White House Inn is. He's in Ohio. He's in Cincinnati, Ohio. His name's Tony Franck. And he says he's even willing to pay a $1,000 signing bonus if you just come to work.
We haven't gotten a one. We put it out there about three months ago. We have not received one application, not one resume. We even put it on our Facebook page. Didn't get anything there. I also did an incentive to my employees to reach out to their friends and family. And anybody that they would bring into the restaurant and work, they would receive a $200 bonus. And we've gotten nothing.
Nothing. Offering $1,000. And then if you refer somebody, you get $200. And he has come up zippo. Nothing. That's in Cincinnati. He goes on to talk about the fact that he says it's clear to him. Clear that all this extra stimulus money is making people stay at home.
I feel it's the stimulus money. I think the first round of the stimulus money was good. I think the extra unemployment money was good because we were shut down as a country. I understand that, but we're not. Every American can get vaccinated now. It's their choice to do it or not do it. Given that extra $300 a week, I mean, they're going to stay home for $700. People who are making $800-$900 will make sacrifices in their life and take things away to be able to sit home. In my opinion, we'll sit home for that $700. Plus, a whole another round of stimulus checks just went out this week.
Yeah. So in Ohio, the way their unemployment insurance works is that most people will get $798 between the state of Ohio and also the federal goodies that are thrown in. So 700, round it up, $2, call it $800 is what you're getting each and every week. Okay. If you pay somebody, if you pay somebody $15 an hour, minimum wage that a lot of people want, I don't know what the minimum wage is in Ohio, but $15 an hour and they work 40 hours, that's $600. So why would you want to earn $15 an hour and work a 40-hour week and get $600 when you can get $800 from staying home? And therein lies the problem. So back to Mr. Franck. How are you going to survive without employees?
I think our business can get through it. This area of White House and Montclove and Waterville have been extremely supportive to me and my family this entire time. And I've had to increase the wages to my cooks in the back and my serving staff who worked extremely, extremely hard. The community has been very generous to them through this entire thing. And I commend this area for how generous they've been to all of us here.
So he's doing okay. He's getting through. I'm sure he would do better if he could get everybody back. But this is something that has been studied and studied and studied. Left economist, right economist. There's a few outliers, but almost all the studies have said, we've gone over this before, unemployment traditionally has been a 26-week affair. Then back in 2008, 2009, during the Great Recession, Barack Obama was the new president. The Democrats controlled the House and the Senate, and they boosted it to 36 weeks. And the economy was really doing bad, so they boosted it to 48 weeks. And they could not get people to get back to work. So, lo and behold, when the 48 weeks came around, all of a sudden, everybody was going back to work. We're in an economic laboratory where it is proving once again that if you give extra benefits, the people will drag their feet coming back. Yet at the same time, you're trying to be a nice government and help out people who are in need. But it appears as though they're not that much in need. I'm sure some people are really hurting. But there's others that are basically saying, I think I'll go fishing. Or I've got a hobby and I want to go golfing. Because they're not going back to work. And it's not just Mr. Franck. I've got others as well. They're all saying the same thing all over the country. So are you having trouble, business owners, getting people? And for those of you that are collecting all this, come on, you can use a fake name if you want, but are you just riding it for as long as you can? 855-295-6600.
Oh, good afternoon. I listen to you all the time. What a wonderful, intelligent show you have.
Nobody can do it like this. Nobody. Nobody can do it like this. You're with...
From a big beverage company, wouldn't say which one, said they're having a very difficult time keeping people employed, and they pay much more than the minimum wage. Out to New Jersey we go, Atlantic City, Scott Kronick, same story.
It's going to be a huge summer at the shore. But right now, we would like to hire at least another dozen people. The reason, I think, frankly, is because there's a lot of stimulus money out there.
That same thing. Here's another one. This is Tom Pullman in Atlantic City. He does something big at the Golden Nugget Casino, and he's going, yeah. Same story.
The backup plan is if managers are having to clean rooms and serve guests, that's what we're doing.
Could you afford to pay them more?
We could, but as we pay them more, the cost of goods goes up and customers are going to be paying more, and it's difficult.
So Jason Furman he hangs out on the left side of the aisle. Economists are very, very political, left or right. He was the head of the National Economic Advisors to President Obama. And he's now, where is Jason? He's at Harvard, teaching at Harvard. And he thinks that we are beginning to see the beginning of a labor shortage.
We still are 11 million jobs short of where we need to go. That's the really big picture in the economy right now. There's a lot of people keeping people from jobs. Fear of the virus, schools not open, daycare. I do think the unemployment insurance benefits are one of those. I wish they were smaller. I wish they were on a down ramp. I certainly don't think they should be continued at this level in September. Yeah, look, I think that's the rearview mirror. I like to look forward. I think we should pass the infrastructure plan. I think we should pass the families plan.
Yes,
we can afford to do those. They're spread out over time. But, you know, we're recovering very quickly. We probably put a bit more money into that recovery than we needed to put into it. But you know, I think this should be a good year for the U.S. You know, the worst thing is pays somebody $0. Any business in the country is allowed to pay $0 and allowed to not hire people. If a business is offering job opportunities to workers, many of whom have, you know, lower levels of skill, no one else wants to employ them. I think that's a great thing. And we want those businesses.
So, again, a lefty economist, and he's saying the benefits that we're paying out for unemployment benefits is too high. And yes, it is having an impact on people not coming back to work. But he's all for these big spending programs. He thinks they're great. And he says the reasons why people are not coming back to work are the virus, which is going, we're winning that war, folks, big time. That schools are closed. That's another whole story about the teachers unions. I mean, this is criminal what I think the teachers are doing. And then the daycares are closed, or they have limited rules about how many people can come and how often they have to. Anyway, so there's lots of reasons, but the bottom line is they're paying too much. Philippe Massaud, he is a restaurant owner here in New York. Same story.
We have a war of survival, a new war of survival. We have no staff to open for lunch at all. Normally you get at least 30, 40, 50 people, 60 people. We only had 3 people respond to our ads, and none of them showed up. We're supposed to go hire people to retain them, but at the same time you're paying unemployment. It creates a conflict of interest, so to speak.
Right, so for 4 months, what is the plan?
Lose more money and do what we can to stay open.
Yeah. One more restaurant owner. This guy runs a restaurant in Miami, Carlos Gazuta. He says same.
Florida's a bellwether state. We've been open a lot longer than many states in the United States. So this is a coming to the theater near you. People should keep the unemployment benefits if they go to work now and they commit to working to the end of the year.
I'm not sure that will work, but... So we've got an interesting situation. We're trying to get the economy back up on its feet, and we're having trouble, and it doesn't have to do with the virus. The virus is not gone, but this is not a virus problem. So what's the solution? Do employers simply write more checks, bigger?
First Amendment 101. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
Yes, you are, and thank you for listening. Welcome to the program on this Thursday. So we've got a lot of people that are not coming back to work. They are blaming it on this unemployment bonuses that are out there that were designed with good thoughts in mind to help people that are hurting during the pandemic. But now we're starting to improve rather rapidly, and where are the people? 855-295-6600. Samantha, thank you for calling. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hi, Tom. I'm a longtime listener. It's about my third or fourth time calling
in.
I just want to say, I don't think it's necessarily all the stimulus money that they're getting. Yes, it helps, and some people are taking advantage of it. But for, like, both of my sons lost their jobs during the pandemic. But okay, they are also looking for jobs, you know, going forward. So my one son, you know, worked for a big box store, and they closed, and like he was like the last one hired, you know, first one to let go. So
yeah,
they let him go.
Yeah.
And he subsequently got a better job because he does have a good degree, but he couldn't find a job before the pandemic because no one was hiring. So now he has a job with the local school district making more money. So now he doesn't have to go back to a job that he didn't want to do in the first place. But then my other 20-something-year-old working in the food service industry, he got let go because he worked, you know, at a care facility and to protect me because I am at high risk for catching COVID. They let him go. But he's like, you know, Mom, I see how I was treated while I was there. And it gave him time to think about what he really wants to do.
Oh,
so he's not
spending
money willy-nilly. So he's thinking. He's like, I think I might go to coding school, learn how to code. I want to work smarter, not harder. Because he was really set on like, well, why do I have to go to college? Why can't I do this? I'm like, you can do whatever you want to do, but you have to go to work somewhere. So when the pandemic hit and he's not, you know, he didn't have anywhere to go or nothing to do, it gave him time to think. Do I really want to go back to food service? Do I really want to go back and be a waiter? It gave him time to think, and now he's like, nope.
Sure.
I'm going to enroll in school and work smarter, not harder. I do feel sorry for all the businesses out there that are looking for people. But, you know, from my son, he could barely get any time off. He had to coordinate with other coworkers who didn't want to work, you know, like say, he wanted this day off. He has to go find somebody. And he's like, you know what, Mom, that's for the birds. I want to work smarter, not harder. So it was giving people a lot of time to think.
I love you. I love your topic and both of your sons, but especially the one who said, I now have had a chance to think about what I want to do. My experience, I don't know if this ties in with yours, Samantha, but my experience was we went to school, came out of college, got a job, thought that's what we wanted to do, maybe 4 or 5 years, and then try something else, another 3 or 4 years, mm-hmm. and maybe try something else. And my observation was that people don't really settle into a job or a career until they're in their early 30s.
Exactly.
So this is...
And for him, he didn't want to... He was like... He realized how hard it is working in food service and what you have to do, what you have to know. He knows how hard that is and how, you know, if something comes, you know, to the table that he had nothing to do with, you know, and it wasn't prepared right, he's catching it. So he's like, yeah, no, I'm going to find something else to do.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Well, even so, I have a friend that was that graduated with a degree, a master's degree, and got out into the big bad world that she thought she wanted to do. And when she landed into the real world, she found out that it wasn't exactly the way it was advertised in school, that there were empire builders and fiefdoms and other builders. In other words, it wasn't really what they said the job was all about. So she left that and went on to a different career. I started off working for the biggest CPA firm in the world. And I liked it, but I couldn't see doing it my whole life after I had done it for 4 or 5 years. So I started a company with a client. I mean, so it's normal for 20 somethings to kind of get their land legs back, figure out what they want to do. And I guess that makes sense from what you're talking about. And these people that we're listening to that are restaurant owners, that are casino owners, all that sort of stuff, they're not, they normally get the 20-something person to come work for them. And these people, I'm wondering if people that are 40, 50-something with the pandemic have now had a chance to really reevaluate what they want to do. Working different,
I think a lot of
a whole different way.
Right, and I wasn't as fortunate. I like I said, I got my degree in communications journalism. Mainly, it was focused on television and news broadcasting. But when I tried to go into that field back in the early 80s, they weren't hiring people that looked like me. And they were like, you need to lose weight. Can you straighten your hair? Can you do this? And I'm like, you know what? I can't. So
did you want to be in front of the camera or behind the camera?
In front of the camera, because that's what I did. Yeah. Like her one friend said, in school, they tell you all this thing, and on my college campus, I was the one they came to. Hey, we need you to do this interview. Can you sing for this person? Can you do this? Can you? Sure, whatever. And even the president was like, hey, the president of the college was like, hey, we have this person coming. We need you to do this interview. I'm like, okay, sure. Not a problem. I got some questions, you know. And I thought it was going to be pretty easy to be do a talk show host or do something like what you're doing. It was not. And I got over 200 rejection notices. And I'm like, you know, I have, at that time, I had two small kids, my two oldest sons. I'm like, I need to put food on the table. And just like that other gentleman said, when the rubber meets the road, you got to stop trying to follow what you want to do and do what you need to do.
You got to do something.
Food, clothing, and shelter.
I just think this has been such a unique time for all of us in this country about what we were doing and how we're doing. I'm still doing the same thing, but I'm doing it in a totally different environment than I was before. And I got word yesterday that we are thinking about the studios that I was working from. They are not going to renew the lease, and they're building studios in a different place. And I'm going, do I really want to go to that different place and hang out there? So all of us are kind of reevaluating. It was hard to adjust, but once you adjust, you're going, do I want to adjust again? So I think you hit the nail on the head with the fact that people are evaluating what they're. It's not so much the pay; it's they're evaluating what they want to do.
Exactly.
Interesting time.
Exactly, and I'm fortunate enough.
Yeah.
I'm fortunate enough where I can, you know, I'm done. I'm staying at home because I have a child that's autistic. So I'm just taking care of him full time, but you know it's hard for these businesses to get up and running again.
It is. I got to hit a hard break here, but interesting. Samantha, thank you very much for the call.
Tom, you're a straight up guy. I love the show.
He's the smartest guy in the room.
Samantha's comments about the one son who really reevaluated what he was doing. I think a lot of us. So we had to overnight reevaluate and adjust back in March and April of last year. I mean, it was like somebody flipped the switch. One day we're doing fine. Next thing, oh my gosh, we got a national emergency. So we all had to. A lot of people lost their jobs during that period. But those of us who did not lose our jobs had to make some major changes. Well, it's been a year, and some of you have adjusted to the point where you like where you are and what you're doing right now. Others can hardly wait to get back. I'm mixed, actually. I really am mixed. I miss the pulse of the city and the restaurants and the there's a vibe in New York City that is unique. I love it. And so I'm anxious to get back into the vibe, but I also kind of like not having to keep this. I mean, it's a lot of time to get in and out of the city every day. So somebody called and mentioned, you know, all those people that are coming across the border. I mean, the numbers are the biggest in 20 years, right? And we don't know where they're going. And they've got to survive, and they've got to figure out a way to earn money and put food on the table. They may be here illegally, but we're not feeding them. So how much you want to bet that a lot of these people that run the restaurant business, the casinos, all these various service businesses, they need a lot of people behind the scenes. You don't need to speak English to cook eggs. And the point the caller was making was that that's where businesses are going to go. If they can't, it's the old story that the illegals will do what Americans don't want to do. It's not exactly true, but you've heard it many times. And I'm thinking, yeah, you're going to see a lot of businesses that are hurting, and they're going, well, I got to get somebody in here. And by the way, they don't cost as much. Come here from your hiding from the Border Patrol. I'll give you a job. I'll pay you money. I think there are millions of illegals in this country. I'm suspecting that they are going to fill that gap. You wonder where they're going, what they're doing. They would be thrilled to work in a kitchen. Meantime, so California and the United Kingdom both have been in legal battles with Uber about the gig economy. And Uber, it personifies the gig economy. There's lots of gig jobs out there in lots of different industries. But Uber is kind of the granddaddy. And my whole point with California, I totally disagreed with them. They're going to kill the gig economy because the unions want people to be employees, and the state wants employees because then they collect taxes from the paycheck. It works so much better for whatever state you live in. So they fought it out over whether these Uber drivers were employees or whether they were independent contractors. And there's a lot of people out there that love being an independent contractor, picking up a couple of hours here, a couple of hours there, driving for Uber or Lyft or any other gig economy. So now there is a fight. The Biden administration is now going to try to bring us down the road of California. Derek Khosrowshahi, who is the CEO of Uber, is worried because Biden is sniffing around about how to make the gig economy disappear and make everybody an employee. He's going to ruin more jobs for more people. So I don't know if he's just being mean or he doesn't know what he's talking about, but he's going to ruin more jobs. He keeps saying, well, you need to get more jobs. Here's Derek Khosrowshahi.
Yeah, listen, it's not clear to me that the message is we want to label them as employees. I think the message that we heard is that we want appropriate classification of gig workers. And in some cases, there can maybe that they should be employees, in some cases not. We've had the same debate in California. And I think the good news for us is the vast majority of drivers want to be independent. With independent comes complete flexibility, work whenever you want, wherever you want. You can work for competition, et cetera. Along with that flexibility, we're saying we are willing to step up and also offer benefits, whether health benefits or other kinds of benefits. We're having discussions on a local basis, on a state basis with many states out there We're not advocating for the status quo. What we're advocating is a better way, which is flexibility and benefits. And we intend to have that discussion with the Biden administration. We're having that discussion with state legislatures. And we think labor is going to be a part of that discussion, too.
Well, he's very political. He knows how to say all the right things. So the courts ruled that the employees of Uber, the people that drive for Uber, they're employees. And then they brought it to somebody called the other day talking about these California propositions where the people of California can make laws by voting in favor or against something that is a proposed law or a current law. And so in October, the courts ruled that these gig workers are no longer independent. They have to be employees. And in November, the people of California, liberal California, voted 58% in favor of no, they don't have to be employees. They can be independent contractors. Because people, whether you are a gig worker or you have a relative that's a gig worker or you know a neighbor or somebody, that it went over with the people big time. They still believe, the people do, that the idea of being a gig worker is kind of a good thing. You can work when you want to work, do what you want to do, decide when you're going to go to work, decide when you're going to go home. I mean, it's called freedom, independence. So the fact that this proposition was passed by the people of California has put a giant setback to the whole idea of trying to get big gig worker companies to cave and make their people employees. Now Biden is trying to do something on a national level. And, I mean, I just keep going, Joe. I think the more that he keeps these trying to shove these plans down our throat and the trillions and trillions and trillions of spending, and 98% of the public won't have to pay a dime for the trillions and trillions of spending and going against what the liberal California voter said was, he's asking for trouble. If the Republicans can get their act together, they're going to win back maybe the House and the Senate and the presidency.